welcome to the Revenue Hub podcast. I'm Trevor Grant. Through these podcasts, we aim to discuss topics relevant to professionals within the hotel, travel and leisure sectors, whether you're in a revenue management function, reservations, front office operations, digital marketing, or sales. We hope the topics discussed will be of interest and either answer some questions or maybe prompt some more. So today we're joined by Michael McCartan and Michael Sandin. So two Michaels is going to make hosting this quite interesting. So we'll probably go with Michael M and Michael S, or Michael 1 and Michael 2, but we'll work it out as we go along. So welcome to both of you. Hope you're well.
Yes, thank you. Hi, Trevor.
Hi, good. Great to have you with us. So Michael McCartan, could you first give us, so your principal at McCartan Tech Consulting, but have quite a varied background in the tech space. So if you could just kind of give us a quick sort of intro into your background and where you are at the moment, that would be great.
Yes, certainly. So I've been involved in hotel technology for 20 years. For the last 10 years in executive positions, I was CEO of eRev Max, and then managing director for Duetto, and most recently I was the executive vice president at RateGain. In the last 5 or 6 years, I've been very involved in revenue management software, both with Duetto and RateGain. And I'm now running my own business, helping other technology companies expand and grow their offerings into the marketplace.
Superb. Thank you very much. And Michael Sandin, can I just hand over to you for a bit of an intro? That would be great, please.
Absolutely. So myself, I have my experience primarily from the hospitality industry, hotels especially, and in particular revenue management. Worked within revenue management since 2012 in Starwood and Marriott. Since a year back, I'm working for PACE, a revenue management system, which is built to optimize revenues for primarily hotels, hostels, service departments, and other hospitality firms. So, thanks a lot for having me, Trevor.
You're welcome. Well, great to have you both here. Now, this is, with both of you having a strong background in revenue management systems, I think probably worth stating this is not a pitch for everybody to go out and buy a revenue management system. However, why do we have you on here? Well, we're building out a series around the evolution of revenue management. We recently had a conversation with Adrian Hanna at Right Revenue. You're probably not likely to meet a more passionate revenue professional than Adrian. And she was really talking about, you know, if she was to go back into a revenue management role, one of the first questions would be, do you have an RMS system? Not really worried which one it would be, although she'd have a preference, but at least do you have one in place? And so I think what we wanted to do today was really to just get the insights from you guys who have been in and around revenue management from an actual active, doing revenue management, and from a technology side, to look at how RMS will be, rather than an either or, rather than this human versus machine discussion, it's more a how does the technology actually liberate, or could liberate, the revenue manager to evolve and be themselves more fulfilled in the role that they're doing, but also be able to add greater value into their hotels. So to kind of kick it off and frame it a little bit, from your guys' experience, and I know it's probably a guesstimate because I couldn't find any real solid surveys that I could bank on the information, but if you were to look at the hotels globally, and I know we've got a mix from independents to major groups, if we were to look at all the hotels, how many would each of you kind of guess as a percentage are using a piece of either RMS or data intelligence, business intelligence tool above and beyond Excel to do their revenue management? Michael McCartan, what would your guess be?
Yes, it is difficult to say, as it does depend on the size of the property. But if you look at Expedia's and statistics and analysis around this area, they are very conservative in stating that it's around 7%, I believe.
Wow.
But I think in their analysis, they're including a lot of smaller independent hotels, possibly even bed and breakfast type providers. So in the sector where revenue management as an application is really meaningful, you know, probably from 35 rooms up, we're probably looking at around about 10%, maybe 20% at a stretch, is my best guess in terms of hotels that actually use some sort of system.
And Michael S., would you kind of concur with that? Do you have any different?
No, I've seen similar numbers where it's ranging between 5 and 10%, which absolutely is surprising. Again, I'd be very curious to see the same sort of research on just the hotel groups, sort of say, that are playing in a number of different markets.
Yeah.
But indeed, just like Michael mentioned there, I think there's a lot of smaller properties that are included. But you can't look away from the fact that in the grand industry, it's probably between 5 and 10%, so very small.
Okay, so there's a lot of revenue managers that potentially are sitting there working with no technology and just an Excel spreadsheet. So no wonder it's maybe not quite evolving as much as it could be. Assuming, and that comes back to our proposition, that the argument is that the RMS can help that evolution. So maybe let's dive into that. So I don't know who wants to take this on first. Maybe Michael at Pace, because you've recently moved across from a revenue management role into a revenue technology. So putting aside your kind of bias of your current employer, but where you think the RMS does liberate the revenue manager to be able to add more value to the property. What are your kind of initial thoughts? And then we'll come to Michael McCartan for his views.
Obviously I feel so, and that's not necessarily because I'm working for a technology company that is selling such a solution right now. I have been fortunate enough to go through it in my own experience as well. When I first started revenue management, I did not have an automated solution for that, meaning that we would go in and manually change the rates. We'd also have a completely different rate structure, so we wouldn't necessarily have a dynamic structure where a change in price on our public prices would impact that many different segments. We might actually go in and change prices or open and close availability for certain segments at different platforms. The experience from those years was really that we spent a lot of time on the whole pricing aspect.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of other areas to focus on, but if we look at how we built that base, we were quite happy with the results, because at the time that was actually a very sophisticated way to go about it. Now, as the occupation evolved and technology along with it, we started seeing more and more of these automated solutions that was coming out, and as those started taking over pricing and limiting demand in other measures, we've actually got a whole lot more time to focus on different things that technology isn't necessarily doing right now,
mm-hmm.
Such as optimizing your segmentation mix. We often talk about strategy in general, which can be difficult for technologies at this point in time. But that's really where it went. So it changed the occupation as a whole for me personally.
Mm-hmm.
But on top of that, you also have to look at the results and sort of realize that the way algorithms are built and are able to estimate what the right price is at any given time is obviously superior compared to what I can calculate myself on a daily basis for the next 2 years.
Yeah, No, that makes sense. I've got a couple of questions to pick up on that, but let me hear from the other Michael. What's your kind of take on where what the RMS could do or has done for the revenue manager, and if they had it in place, what value that would bring?
Yeah, so I think from my experience, the decision to take a revenue management system, to deploy a revenue management system at a property, seems to be largely based on saving time for the revenue manager. Okay. There are a lot of redundant and repetitive tasks in the daily life of a revenue manager, and a revenue management system can really automate that. There's tons and tons of data that needs to be compiled, which probably in a manual environment takes a long, long time. So before the revenue managers even had a chance to determine what they need to do, they have to cleanse the data, they have to compile the data, and that probably accounts for, Michael will know better than me, but you know, 3 or 4 hours a day just spent doing the same routine tasks, which without actually adding any value. Mm-hmm. It's only at that point that you can then look at the data and say, I'm going to make this decision or that decision. So I think fundamentally, the first reason for revenue managers deciding whether to take a revenue management tool currently is around this time-saving element. And making them more productive and making their jobs more interesting. I think there's probably all familiar with the amount of churn that we see at hotels, and that's because revenue managers, after they sort of got on top of their role at a particular hotel, get bored because it's just they're having to turn the wheel, do the same thing day after day after day, and that's not very interesting. So revenue management applications take away some of that repetitive work, make their jobs a little bit more interesting. What I'm not seeing yet, and I think this is the real opportunity, and particularly now with the pandemic and sort of an almost resetting of hotel operations, is revenue managers using the revenue management systems to apply pricing decisions to their hotel. I think there's still an element of them believing, and possibly rightly so, that they know more about their market and the opportunities than the revenue management solution. Mm-hmm. So there's this trust element that needs to be developed by the revenue management systems, so that revenue managers can fully adopt the pricing recommendations. And I think when we get to that point, we'll probably see a much higher adoption of revenue management solutions.
So you think there's a large part is a trust element behind it? Or do you think, and maybe, I mean, maybe this is to kind of push back to Michael 2, Michael S, is, I mean, if we're looking at it from an automating manual tasks, and that, if that's a prime driver, then I guess this is kind of where my question often is that if we started off by the comment that it could be between 10 to 30% of hotels are, you know, that could benefit from an RMS or using an RMS. And if there is a driver to become more efficient, and therefore that would lead us to buy that solution, that connection still doesn't necessarily seem to be made. Otherwise, we would be like a PMS where everyone knows we need to have one. So I'm kind of looking at it and thinking, well, if the value still hasn't been understood, that it could even just be a time saving exercise. And this is why I just wanted to bring it back to your experience, Michael, that if you were back in your revenue management role and you didn't have an RMS, what would all of your time be spent doing that the RMS takes away, if that makes sense? Do you understand the kind of question I'm driving at there? That if suddenly you were back and didn't have a technological solution and having to do this all manually, what would you be doing? Because by definition, that sounds like 70% of people are still having to do those manual tasks. So what would those manual tasks be?
Yeah, no, and that really depends on how much time do you have.
Yeah,
you can go on for all eternity, and it depends on how dynamic the market is. To get some sort of understanding of how to price without an RMS in place, it takes a lot of time. You need a lot of experience. You need to run a lot of reports to make somewhat of an educated guess in the end of where or how you should be priced. I share the experience with that. The first thing that comes to mind when we're talking about an RMS and the benefits it brings, I do see a lot of the time that the first thing that comes to mind is time saving, which I definitely understand. But in my eyes, that's in the end the benefit. That's not the main reason to why you're getting an RMS. You're getting an RMS because the RMS will deliver you more money. And the fact that it saves you time on top of it is great. And ultimately, what will elevate the occupation? And ultimately, it comes down to trust, indeed. You want to trust the system to have it run for you automated. What's very human, though, is that we want to understand the background to why it's making certain decisions. And the challenge with that is that we might have done it one way in the past, and that's then the standard that we're comparing an RMS to, just to evaluate whether it's doing a good or a bad job. And when the RMS later on is taking different decisions at time, because ultimately it's got algorithms, highly complex algorithm, that at times will take a different decision. When we have difficulties understanding that decision, that can suddenly become a blocker onto our automation process. And that, I think, is the big challenge in a lot of situations, the fact that we don't necessarily have to understand the whole way of getting to a certain price point. We just have to accept and realize and really utilize the fact that there is technology out there that can do this for us. We don't need to know how a car is built in order to drive it, but we want to utilize it to its best extent. And that is by sitting at the driving seat and taking command when you need to, which at best case scenario is 5% of the times.
So in a way, what you're saying, there's a number of points in there, but picking up on your last point, is that it's almost your analogy of driving a car is, you're right, we don't need to know how to put an engine together. We don't need to know how the suspension necessarily works. We just understand it does. We trust the people that are building it, that they know what they're doing. We just need it to get us from A to B. But what we've looked at is how cars have evolved, is that we put far more trust to the fact that we're almost getting, you know, we're at automated systems now where we don't even need, you know, we plug in our destination and it will take us there. I guess that's a good example of that trust piece, that are we confident enough to get into an automated car that it won't crash us into something? And maybe that's part of, I don't know, Michael, you mentioned the word trust, whether or not that comes back to that point around trust on the pricing, because we've been so used to crunching that data, making those decisions ourselves, that we inherently trust that we've made the right choices. But it sounds from what you're saying, Michael S., that, you know, there is just so much data as this role has evolved. And if you've seen it evolve in your career as a revenue professional, is that the ability to actually now make the right decisions in the dynamic world that we live in with the level of data that is available, you could actually argue that the human probably can't make or can't compute that level of information that is now available to be most effective. So lends itself to needing a bit of a technology, but then can we trust the technology? I guess there's a bit of this dichotomy between the two. Is that your kind of view, Michael M? Is that touching on that trust?
Yeah. So if just going back to the car analogy, I don't think revenue management as a discipline is anywhere near sort of autonomous self-driving vehicles.
Yeah,
I would say we're at the point now where we're deciding. It's not quite sort of car to car. It's somewhere in between.
Right.
But the what we aren't at is trusting the GPS, the navigation system on the car. So it's not, yes, we'll trust the vehicle, we'll trust the revenue management system to get us to where we want to go, but we're not necessarily confident in the route that it's dictating to us, i.e. the price. So we've got a driver there who knows their domain really well, knows their marketplace really well. They'll know where the shortcuts are. If they encounter traffic, they'll take this side road, et cetera, even though the GPS is telling them something different. And that was sort of made clear to me, even more clear. I was having a conversation with a revenue manager recently, and she said that she even within her organization has struggled to move out of, she was based in Brussels, and she was, her company didn't want to move her to London because they said, you don't know the London market. Right. We're going to keep you in Brussels. Brussels is the marketplace that you know. So she, as the driver of the vehicle, knows the side roads, the best routes to take during traffic rush hour, et cetera. And they're not confident to put her in London where she'd have to relearn that.
Right.
Now, obviously, what we're saying is that you don't need to know that because you've got a GPS system that's taking data from all different sources and is actually going to allow you to, guide you to take the best route. You don't need to know the streets of London to be an effective driver in the streets of London. But they don't trust the revenue management systems to deliver that level of indication, recommendation. Mm-hmm. And I think that's largely down to the fact that the amount of data that's required to come up with the decisions is as Michael was saying, is massive, but also the revenue management systems are starved of getting that information. So they can't necessarily make the best decisions. And that's where the human plus the machine are having to work together. And so back to your original point, why are some companies not deciding not to take revenue management systems? Well, they say because this person knows the market so well that actually they're going to perform as well as a revenue management system is going to. Yes, they can't be as effective or as efficient because they're going to take longer to crunch the data, but the decisions that they come up with are actually going to be as good or even better conceivably than the revenue management system. And I think that's the challenge that the revenue management community need to overcome, or the revenue management system providers need to overcome, is how do we harness the data that's available, ingest that into our algorithms, into our machine learning, and come up with better recommendations? Because there's no question that if we can do that, they're going to outperform any human.
Yeah, and I mean, Michael, Sondre, I'd like to get your view on what Michael McCarthy just said there, but to me, I wouldn't imagine going anywhere without a GPS, whether it be a device in the car or whether it be, maps on my phone. I mean, it would just be unheard of nowadays because you just trust it to give you the right. It's not always right. And you have an overlay on it. But I thought that was, that's an interesting analogy about thinking about the RMS as you wouldn't go back to just having a map anymore and working out and having to keep stopping all the time and not knowing what's going on with the traffic ahead of you, and you're stuck in a traffic jam and you've got to navigate your way out. Michael Sondre, do you want to kind of add into anything into that analogy? Because I think we've also spoken a little bit about the data there and how we might need to shift on to what could be added in. But before we move on to evolution, I'd like to get your thought on that point.
No, I what really took my attention here was how again the conversation is often around humans versus the machine, which has been sort of an ongoing topic, and what really grabs my attention when it comes to this is how, even if we're looking at an RMS and a highly experienced revenue manager, there's no doubt that the combination is the by far strongest. An RMS on its side is great, and it can take all of the history from years out, so you don't necessarily need the same sort of experience from a revenue manager from the same market, having operated the same system for the same amount of years. the important part here is really that the good revenue manager, who is very experienced, the way to utilize this person is not by having that person doing the job of what an RMS can do. We want to elevate that occupation, right? And that person is a person that has proven that they know how to operate in within a certain market. Now, how can we utilize this person in a much more efficient, better way so that we ultimately get better results?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. So I think what we've got is we've kind of got two phases here, because we know everything is an evolution. So listening to the first part of this conversation is, using our GPS analogy, is that everyone is trying to get to a direction. We rely on technology that can accumulate all of this information that has currently gone on historically. You know, if I jump on Maps, Google Maps, other map applications are available. But, you know, I can put in a time of when I want to get to a destination, and it will look back on all the historical journeys that have gone on and give me a prediction as to how long it's likely to take me on any given day at any given time to get there. So if I want to reach a point and I want to be confident that with my own knowledge, I want that backed up by some data, that's what I will do. And to me, that seems a fundamental component of liberating your revenue manager away from crunching data, filling reports, to actually start to look at what the information is telling me when I want to get to this destination. And then I can overlay my knowledge of the market or what might be happening that this data set doesn't currently integrate. But that frees me up. That frees me up to do more for my hotel and more for me as an individual in my job. So I think in terms of that answer to would an RMS liberate a revenue manager, it without the fact that we've got two people on here with background in RMS systems, to me, which is why I wanted to ask the question, it seems a natural thing to do. Now, if there is a cost prohibitive reason why, okay, fine, that's becomes an economical decision. But the actual rationale between getting an RMS in place and looking at the GPS as a similar analogy seems to me like such a obvious thing to do. And I can understand why Adrian said I wouldn't go in and take on a revenue management role unless there was an RMS system in place. So that would enable a revenue manager to add more to their property. But it's not necessarily going to be all-encompassing to get them to the next step, because there are... we are almost ready, and I know companies like Pace and others and other RMS providers out there are constantly evolving and developing. So if we could just touch on and talking generically about kind of what some of the limitations are around the RMS and therefore where the revenue manager's role combines. What are the things, what is the data sets that they will be looking at? What currently can't be done with an RMS that a revenue manager should be looking at? Michael M., maybe you could take a lead on that as you're kind of not involved in one single company. And so I don't want to put Michael Sondin into an awkward position.
Yeah, so I mentioned previously that sort of COVID has created a crossroads for us as an industry. And why did I say that? Because history no longer applies. Historically, revenue management systems have been fed by historical data. You mentioned that, you know, they're analyzing tons and tons of historical data and drawing patterns so they can match similar days to historical days and sort of draw correlations around that. And then obviously they're using the pickup of reservations to validate their assumptions that they're making around a certain day. But that historical data is limited. And in an environment where such as the one we're in now, where we've never seen this before, the history has no relevance. So the only data that we've got moving forward is actually the forward-looking data. We need to start understanding more around what's actually happening in the market as the market starts to recover. Now, this is not a new idea. This has been around for a long time, for 4 or 5 years, and most revenue management companies will acknowledge and accept that a combination of historical and forward-looking data is required to really understand true demand and market elasticity. the challenge that we've all had is getting hold of that data. And I think that is the crux of the matter. The revenue management solutions, or as an industry, being able to provide that data to fuel the revenue management systems is going to provide much better data for the revenue managers, much better predictions of actual demand, and therefore much better price recommendations. But it's not easy to do. We've often spoken about the fact that data sits in little pockets here and there, and there's no sort of consolidated view of the market, and getting hold of that data is really difficult. But that is required for us to really, really remove the reliance on humans' knowledge of the marketplace to come up with recommendations. And I think it's that human, at the moment, a revenue manager who's been at a hotel for a long time understands their market better than the machine does right now, because the machine doesn't have access to that data, that forward-looking data. In order to remove the dependency in a tactical sense from the revenue manager, we need to start feeding that sentiment data, that market analysis, that segment data into the revenue management systems, and then they can come up with better recommendations and free up the revenue manager even more to make more of those strategic decisions that we've spoken about.
That makes sense. Michael Sondin, obviously conscious you're at pace, so I know you're not going to want to talk about all the things that you guys are developing and giving away competitor information. But I guess maybe because you offer a very unique perspective in terms of being in a tech, but having come out of a revenue management role. So if we take our stages, so if I don't have an RMS, I'm bogged down by data, I'm doing reports, I'm doing data crunching, I'm not adding much value, or I could be adding more value is maybe a fairer way of putting that. If I now have an RMS system, my role is now looking at the data that is not built into that system. So I'm looking at other data sets that aren't currently integrated. Could you give us a kind of a maybe a look towards, so for all those that don't have the luxury of an RMS, what would a revenue manager be doing if they did have an RMS? What other questions would they be asking? What other data would they be looking at, maybe along the lines of what Michael McCartan spoke about there? Could you give us a kind of a lean towards that side?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are so many interesting points to what Michael was describing here with the whole situation we're in right now, and how you can go about it with an RMS, without an RMS. I think with an RMS right now, it's in my eyes the most crucial time ever to have an RMS, particularly for the reasons Michael mentioned here, that we simply don't know how the market is going to recover, if it's going to recover, and to what point it's going to recover. The great advantage an RMS has is that it has the ability to test price elasticity of demand far more accurately than what a human can do. So whilst I do believe the human sort of sets the overall strategy in what sort of buckets we should be priced within, understanding exactly where to be priced within those buckets is one of those huge advantages that you get as an RMS. Now, to stay on top of things these days and sort of complementing what the RMS is doing, then I think there's been a good amount of webinars all over to try and sort of assist you with getting an idea of what is happening around the world, and what can we expect in terms of inbound demand. Right now, I think for any human being with the capabilities that we have and the advantages that we have, it's always going to be a matter of staying on top of what the news are reporting on. What is my segmentation mix, not only in terms of segments as in leisure, corporate, and groups, But what's the geo source of each of these? And what if I used to have 50% of American travelers coming into staying in my hotel, then it's highly unlikely that they're going to return anytime soon. Is there another market I can direct my resources to? And that's really what I think one should be focusing on right now, regardless if you have an RMS or not, because figuring out where to be priced currently without an RMS is extremely difficult, and to get any sort of idea of where or how price elasticity of demand sits without technology there to back you up, I still don't feel that that would be the best way to spend your time at the moment.
Michael McCartney, you're nodding away there. So
yeah, I was just curious from Michael's perspective, because I agree 100%. But the danger I see is those hotels that aren't using a revenue management system and maybe using just a rate shopper, which I believe is part of it, shouldn't be the only source of data that hotels use. They need to have something more sophisticated. But if they're only checking their competitor rates, is there a danger of someone undercutting the market and to try and grab a greater share of the perceived demand in the marketplace and actually upsetting the apple cart for everyone? And just curious to know how you counter that. If everyone was using a revenue management system, then the recommendations would be consistent and applicable to that marketplace. But as soon as you have sort of rogue hotels, it becomes a challenge. And yeah, especially now in this climate. And I wonder how, you know, what advice you can give to hotels to sort of counter that, prevent that happening.
Yeah, no, it's. I mean, rate dumping will always be a problem, whether it's the current situation or any future situation. That's always, again, one of these hot topics. You shouldn't be calling the other revenue manager and asking him what's going on there. The real big difficulty here is to understand exactly what sort of impact does it have on my demand. Is he actually better off dropping those rates or not? What does it generate in terms of a drop in rates? Are they getting extra demand? Because then we could, after all, have a different conversation about whether we should be dropping rates. Where are we stealing demand from? Are we stealing it from the hotel next door? Are we actually stealing it from a completely different market that we didn't think about when we were looking at our price strategy and the competitors around? I feel in the end, when we're making pricing decisions and we're making use of an RMS, the number one most important part will always be to have a reliable data in the background. You have to have a fundamental base which is trustworthy. And I feel that if you're sticking to that and you know that the data that is coming in and through my RMS, which is ultimately setting my pricing decisions, then I'll have a very clear view of what the ideas of the RMS is. If we then have some of our own thoughts and ideas of what could potentially further impact that, then I think that's valuable. And in the best case scenario, you're able to use that in your combination with what the RMS is working out. But I think we've mentioned this before. There's no one fit that goes for everyone. There's every single hotel is very unique, and so I don't think we can generalize the approach in any sense. It has to be different property to property.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Michael, did you want, you posed the question, so I guess it's fair to...
No, I think Michael's spot on there. It's all about understanding where your demand's coming from and sort of capturing that demand before your competitive hotels understand that demand. So it's not pinching reservations from the hotel next door. It's actually getting in front of that and saying, I'm seeing a pickup from North American business travelers or whatever the case may be. how do I market to them and put the right product in front of them to ensure that they book with me, therefore I get a greater share of that demand than the rest of the market. That's the key. And in order to, you know, that key lies in good data. And as I said previously, I think for revenue management systems to really provide the optimal results, we need to really dig into the data that provides that insight. I think Michael will probably back me up here. I think it's a combination of some human analysis, some human understanding of the marketplace in combination with the revenue management systems. But I think if we want to get higher adoption and sort of greater trust in the revenue management systems and the recommendations, those sources of data need to be ingested into the algorithms. I almost see it like a marathon runner. If you starve the marathon runner of oxygen, they're not going to perform optimally. If you give them a good source of oxygen, they're going to perform really well. Mm-hmm. And the data is the oxygen for a revenue management system. So tapping into that market demand, understanding where the demand's coming from, what the demand is looking for, and when it's going to arrive is key to a successful pricing strategy.
That makes sense. Michael, you're nodding away there. So I think we have a common agreement here. One, if I could throw one extra bit in, because I'm conscious your guys' time is valuable and we've been talking for a while. So I think just summarizing where we are at the moment listening to this is that, you know, without the RMS, I'm doing loads of data crunching, loads of report writing. If I can use an RMS, that frees up a significant component part of my time, even if it is time saving, which is the rationale for the decision making, whatever. I can at least free up that time to do more into this market mix, looking at my business mix, looking at where the demand is coming from. So I can overlay that knowledge, that thought process, and layer that into. If RMS systems are going to evolve, or whether it becomes RMS and business intelligence, however that combines, to bring that data in is going to be possibly the next stage of evolution. But one area that I just wanted to ask a question about quickly is that everything that I hear is always, again, around room pricing. And the conversation that has gone on for many, many years in the revenue management circles is this total revenue management, so looking at your other departments, and also profitability. So from my point of view, I would look at it, if I was a revenue professional and looking to evolve, I would want that system to be taking away a lot of the time I'm having to spend doing data crunching and report writing, to enable me to not only look at demand and mix, but also start to look at the other revenue generating functions of the hotel, and to start to get to grips with costs, so I can start to look at this more. And maybe my role changes from revenue manager to profit manager, but it's total profit manager, you know, working with finance. So I'm looking at all of the revenue streams, working with marketing in terms of generating demand and sales, and then overlaying how that is driving the operation from a cost point of view to make sure we are properly aligned to what is coming into our property to start to affect the profitability. And I guess that's what I see as the ultimate evolutionary step if we are really going to get strategic for our hotel. Is that me just talking a load of nonsense, having never been a revenue manager, or does that make some sense to either of you? anyone jump in?
Yeah, no, I think you're spot on. I think that's definitely one of the paths everything will be leading towards. I think the second option is because a lot of it is built around what sort of opportunities you have in each of these properties. There are properties out there that simply don't have an F&B outlet or bike rentals. So, and I think for those type of properties, clusters or complexes will become a sort of a growing solution to where we centralize revenue management. And we might be able to take on more properties if we're really only focusing on rooms, hopefully rooms profit, as opposed to rooms revenues. But then you obviously have the second part of properties where there is a lot of opportunities in all of these other departments. And there I'm looking forward to see sort of the focus shifting more towards all of those opportunities, because there's no doubt that there's plenty to do there.
I would say, Trevor, that it's probably, in order to get to that, we need to understand the guest better. So it goes back to this whole question of segmentation. I think we have a pretty crude way of segmenting customers at the moment. What we really need to do is get down to understanding the value of each guest or sector of guests, because that will help us understand what additional spend a particular profile of guest will have at a hotel. And that, once you know that, then you can start forecasting what the additional revenues that guest is going to create, and then you can start doing your total revenue management. But until you understand your guest down to that level of detail, and back to the earlier conversation we had, really to really understand that, you need machines. You know, no human can really derive the value of individual guests or sectors of guests to the level required where you can actually say that Michael arriving is actually going to, in addition to his room revenue, is actually going to generate me an additional 10% in F&B or whatever the case may be. That's where machines can really, really help. And so it's a question of better profiling of the guests, better segmentation, and then understanding the value of each of those guests, which will then allow you to forecast total revenues and then be able to price your rooms in a way that supports the total value of that guest.
That makes sense. So much more to be done. So much scope for evolution and technology to play a part in that. That's been really interesting conversation. It's interesting how you can focus on just one piece of technology, such as an RMS, but then look at it at both ways. If you don't have it, and if you do have it, what you could be doing, and the various pros and cons. But then, how it leads into a further discussion about the granularity that can come, and the value of data, and the need to machines. And I think this realization that it isn't this binary. And it's been discussed. It isn't man versus machine. It literally is those two working in harmony, but defining what you actually need, and how that can technology can enable the human element to move those discussions, to ask those questions, to move those decisions further forward, and properly align into those that strategic overview, which is what everyone's talking and some are moving towards. Any final comments or questions from your guys' side? I am very conscious of your time, so I'm happy to hear more from you, but I don't want to overstay our welcome.
Maybe just one final word, which is, I think we've seen that the COVID pandemic has actually accelerated innovation and the adoption of technology. I don't think we've seen that yet from a revenue management systems perspective, but I think there is an opportunity, and maybe this is the catalyst that is going to drive that adoption from in the single percentages to double digit percentages, if not into the, you know, the 40-50%, simply because all hotel operations are probably going to have to do more with less.
Yeah, that makes sense. Michael Sandin?
I agree with that. I think it's a very, very exciting time that lies ahead of us. Like I mentioned before, I think RMS is playing one part in how successful you will be in the coming months. And so that being said, think it is a fantastic opportunity to really, if you haven't already tested it, definitely consider it. I think it's unprecedented in the situation we're in the fact that we're all sort of starting from zero and now going to start elevating. So once we've been looking at rather small percentage increases over most markets, especially in Europe year over year, this will be something completely different, and it will be very visible to see who made the right decisions and who took the right action plans during this period compared to who didn't. So exciting times.
Absolutely. Well, thanks a lot, guys. It's been great to have you join us today. Thank you for sharing your knowledge, your insights, your experience, and your thoughts. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
So that's the end of today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you had any questions or future topic suggestions, please feel free to reach out via content@revenue-hub.com. Thank you all for listening. If you like what you heard, please subscribe, like, and tell your colleagues and friends. Catch you next time.